every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome to the Behind the Sports Show. This is the show where we talk about everything happening in and around the world of sports, not just the scores, but the stories, the culture, and the moments that matter. So whether you're a diehard fan or just love a good story, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Giovanna Scroggins, coming to you live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Week one of NFL action officially in the books. And man, I tell you, this week was electric. I mean, kicking off the week with Cowboys and the Eagles, and I have to say, as a Cowboys fan, that was a win, even though we still lost, a loss by 4 points to a really good team, Super Bowl champions. I will take it. But one game stood out to me the most, and like, yes, obviously we had Bills Ravens. That was an incredible comeback for Josh Allen and company, but The Indianapolis Colts and the Miami Dolphins game stood out to me among all, because for this Miami Dolphins team, you made Daniel Jones look good. And like Danny Dimes, hey, we might see him do good with the Colts this year. He might have a good season. I'm not sure. But this Miami team was struggling. Tua was not tooing good. See what I did there? But this is an interesting tweet that I came across when watching that game. This is from a guy. He says, Miami Dolphins upcoming moves. Number one, fire head coach Mike McDaniel. Two, trade Tyreek Hill for draft picks. Three, release Tua and take on the $62.4 million hit in dead cap. Four, release Darren Waller. Five, sign Desmond Ridder. Six, draft Drew Aller. I don't know what this Miami team needs to do. I'm not sure if Mike McDaniel, if it's time to go, but week one for Miami, not looking too hot, and it might be time to move some things around. Obviously, there's a lot of discord, too, with Tyreek in his personal life. The NFL is now investigating him for some domestic violence, so I don't know. Miami, wishing you got good vibes and good luck. Hope y'all figure it out. Stay tuned. We've got an amazing sports psychologist up next talking about his new book. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned to BTS.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today.
Celebrate responsibly. This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline Broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
Welcome back to BTS, the Behind the Sports Show, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I want to welcome in a very special guest. I'm excited to dive into this conversation. He's a two-time world tennis champion, an elite coach, and a licensed sports psychologist. I want to welcome in Jeff Greenwald. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Yes, great to have you. I know you just released a brand new book, The Mental Edge for Young Athletes, and I want to dive into all of that really, really good stuff. You talk about, you know, insights, practical solutions, and how to help families navigate a little bit of a crisis that we're seeing in the youth sports. But before we get into all that sauce, I want to start with Jeff. I want to start with your career. Tell me all about you as an athlete and kind of what brought you to this moment, becoming a licensed sports psychologist, and kind of writing these books and helping other people.
Sure. You know, thank you. So I was, second year down at the IMG Tennis Academy. Now, you know, became IMG. It was the Balotelli Academy. My parents shipped me off at 12 and a half, almost 13, down to Florida, live on my own. And I, you know, joined 60 other players from around the world to try to become a professional tennis player. So I lived there for a couple years and back and forth, and went on to play D1 college tennis at UC Santa Barbara, and then played professionally for a couple of years. Didn't make it big. Had a great run. Traveled the world for a few years. But what I personally experienced was playing safe and not really playing the way I knew I could. You know, which is so common with every athlete. You know, just trying to find that their best stuff. And I just felt, you know, years later I discovered this sort of dimension, this way of being and playing and focusing on mastery, and I started playing the best tennis of my life, and got to number one in the world. And I also went back to school and got my degrees and all this. So I applied what I learned onto myself, and it worked pretty well. And then opened up my practice in 1998. So 27 years in here now, helping families.
Did you say you were shipped off at 12 to go to IMG?
Yes. Yes.
That is, so this book is very much speaking on experience for yes. You and like a lot of the struggles that you faced as youth.
Yeah, I told my parents picked me up. I almost quit because, you know, I did. But then I said, you know what, I want to be a professional tennis player. So 3 weeks later, I was on an airplane. My dad put me on an airplane down to Bradenton, Florida, you know, because I wanted to go. I wanted to just, you know, anything that would make me better. So that's what I did. It was a challenge, but kind of like, you know, you live and die by your wins and losses there, and to get on the good court. So I learned early what it means to be under pressure and how to compete, but it was not easy. It was definitely not easy.
Yeah, and we'll talk about kind of how that pressure does build character, especially at such a young age, and why sport is good for youth. But I want to dive into tennis a little bit, because obviously you have a super, super insight behind the sport, outlook on the sport of tennis. And listen, I watched the U.S. Open that just concluded, and, you know, it was the U.S. Open. There's just something about it. It's kind of becoming, it's always been electric, but I feel like this year something was in the water. It was a little different. Talk to me, though, about what you feel tennis as a sport is becoming now. Like, how does tennis stand out from all the other sports, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's a great time in tennis right now. Some exciting players coming up. That always helps the game. You know, but tennis is a very, very tough sport. I mean, only 15% of tennis players in high school and junior tennis make it to play D1 college, and then only about 1-2% make it professionally. So it's the margins are really small. Other sports, there's a little, you know, early on, you know, you don't have that same level of competition. You know, it's a team sport, which is great. And I think, but now we have money being offered to tennis players, to all athletes. And so this is also adding another element to this whole pressure cooker. And I think this pressure and focus on results and money and fame and on social media, all of this has sort of led me to want to write and help people, families, how to do this thing, you know, where you can, you know, be excited and go for the wins, and but do it in a way that actually helps the kids and doesn't add to their mental challenges, their mental health, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of times, I mean, this conversation, you brought it up, the money aspect. I mean, it is huge when you have these young athletes at the college level, you know, receiving a lot of money for their efforts and playing sports and being a student athlete at the same time, which I think is great. But it's not talked about enough. Not only is it not talked about, there's not enough resources. And I believe that with books like yours, it can really, really help not only the kids, but families navigate it. And that's exactly kind of, like you said, what brought you to write this book. Why do you feel like it's such a tough skill for young athletes to bounce back from their mistakes? Do you see like a overall theme of why it's a tough skill, and what's one way they can kind of start practicing that today to in the future kind of avoid that?
Yeah, no, well, you bring up a great point, the mistakes. It's probably, you know, that and nerves, you know, dealing with nerves, and they're related, they all overlap. But dealing with mistakes is incredibly challenging, because the athletes, you know, feel like the scrutiny is so, you know, is so extreme, and you know, making mistakes now is, it's on social media, and you can see it there, so there's that exposure. And depending on the coach and the family structure, you know, there can be an emphasis on winning and losing and results, and that can add pressure, and fear of failure is really just more prominent. You know, you see on social media the best of the best, the 0.5% who make it professionally in the NBA and MLB, and you know, and so that's just not reality for most people, but sometimes they treat the sport and the child and the whole family system gets caught up in the starting the kids in, or, you know, too early, and they specialize too early. There's more injury now, and so all of the fear of failure is pretty prominent. And dealing with mistakes, they just feel like the floor is opening up. They make a mistake, and the coach gets a little upset, and they just worry that they're going to make another one. And you know, all these eyes looking on them when they don't really know who they are yet. And something that should be fun and really a wonderful experience. You get so much out of sports. And my sort of goal was to try to help educate parents and help the athletes really, you know, empathize with them and give them some examples and stories specifically about these high pressure moments and how I relate to that, so they can feel heard. A lot of books just kind of talk at them. And So I think that hopefully, yeah, mistakes are a big one, though. You bring up a bit, you know, an important skill to be able to let it go, reframe it in your mind. It's just, you know, one mistake, move on, control what you can control. So a lot of reframing of your thoughts is helpful, and letting them go, not worrying so much. And that requires a little bit of mindfulness, and some meditation can help, things like that.
You bring up a good point about the pressure of that kids feel when it comes to their parents. And in the tennis world, one of the films that came out, King Richard, in 2021, really documented Richard Williams, the Serena and Venus's father, and the mother along with it. But obviously, Richard was very much involved in the making of Venus and Serena and how they came up and how they were going to be athletes in the tennis world. What, in your opinion, is truly too early for parents to be putting their kids in sports?
Well, I think if it's done right, that's okay. You know, starting them early, and I mean, kids are hitting tennis balls and these like orange balls and red balls, you know, at three and so on, and that's fun. That's, I mean, tennis and all sports are amazing. It's just a wonderful thing. But when the parents and coaches get too emotionally invested in the skill development, overly so, and the kids start to feel that, you know, it's really more the specialization and stopping other sports, you know. And I think it's really, really helpful and healthy to play sport, you know, different sports until you're 12, 13, you know. Some talented kids can go up to 15, you know, but with a couple sports if they're a really good athlete, but playing a few different sports up until 12, 13 for sure is really healthy mentally, emotionally, and also, you know, with the proprioception and biomechanics and just not overusing certain muscles for a specific sport. And the overuse injuries have, you know, more than doubled in the last 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Before we go to commercial break, make sure we're talking to Jeff Greenwald. He's the new author of The Mental Edge for Young Athletes. More about his book right up next. Jeff, stay with us. Stay tuned. This is BTS.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Welcome back to BTS, the Behind the Sports Show, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Continuing our conversation with a two-time world champion, tennis champion, elite coach, a licensed sports psychologist. He just released the new book, The Mental Edge for Young Athletes. I want to welcome back in Jeff Greenwald. Jeff, I want to dive into The Mental Edge. I want to get all the stuff. What are the biggest takeaways from this book that you've written?
The biggest takeaways, one is the mastery mindset and how to, you know, create very specific intentions for each game, each match, so you are really moving the needle in those areas. So different metrics doesn't mean you don't want to win, and that's all good. We don't want to get rid of that. The mastery mindset is about taking pride and really being clear about what is it you want to go in and do in this game, in this match, in addition to your objective of winning. And then the other part would be this sort of more permission to make a mistake, to not avoid that. The more we avoid mistakes and worry about it, the more it happens. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So permission to miss, very big concept. Learning to center in the moment, on the go. How do you center your mind? Drop into your body, your core, you know, and once you recognize your mind's wandering, how to bring it back. So I have a lot of very specific tools, you know, all conversations with athletes and how they use these tools. And so it really kind of helps athletes apply this stuff, which is really the you know, where the rubber meets the road, is applying these tools, having athletes remember and be inspired to do them. And then, of course, the parent, the empathy and, you know, knowing how much to say and how much, you know, and when to, you know, timing in terms of how they communicate with their athletes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, from the athlete's perspective and then from the parent perspective, but let's dive deeper into the coaches. What role should a coach play in reinforcing these mental skills, and how can they kind of collaborate with parents and athletes alike to help them thrive in their environment?
Yeah, so I'm finishing up a guidebook, a workbook for coaches and parents and athletes so they can, you know, work through these scenarios, these skills together, and, you know, so very practical. So the workbook, I think, will be really helpful, although the book itself is very instructive. So coaches can take a tool, you know, and I really made it so accessible because kids are on the go, they're really busy. So these chapters are really short, you know, 500 words. I put the answer in the title, you know, and, you know, center your mind, give yourself permission to miss, build a mastery mindset, let go of expectations. So that, you know, coaches can reinforce this, they can have it top of mind, and they can, yeah, basically reinforce the lessons and the principles in the book. So kids are hearing it, and that's, they see that it's the value of the coach. The coach isn't just about, you know, winning and losing and all that. It's like, I really want you to execute these very specific tools. I want to see yourself, you know, breathing between points, or, you know, resetting on the mound and these sorts of things. So it teaches you and coaches how to implement this too. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier a little bit about some of the conversations with athletes that you've had. What conversations stood out to you the most when it came to creating this book?
Well, you know, all the self-sabotage that can happen, you know, when you're out there and you're out there to win and then you make some mistakes or you're off your game and you get distracted by the results, thinking ahead, your parents in the stands. And so it's sometimes, you know, athletes just give up. They give in. They don't. What I try to tell them, I think probably the biggest thing is, here's the remote control. Let's put the buttons on the remote. But you got to press them. If you want to get, you know, feel more relaxed, you want to let go of that mistake, you want to stop worrying about what people are thinking of you, which is super common, then you got to hit the button. But I help them with this book put those buttons on there. And I think it's giving them that agency, that confidence that they have a place to go. There's a menu, a drop down menu, if you will, as opposed to just, oh my God, I can't believe this and this is so bad. What are my friends and coach going to say if I make another mistake, kind of thing.
It's really interesting because you don't, I mean, sports psychology is a very big industry, but pairing a sports psychologist with an athlete that's been in the game before is, I think, really unique and special to you. And like that kind of gives you the experience and then the kind of accolades to write about something like this. But I want to dive into sports psychology right now. Where do you feel like the industry itself is going? Do you see a lot of licensed sports psychologists helping athletes with their craft? What do you see for this industry?
Yeah, so it certainly has become increasingly popular. I've been in it now 27 years, and every 5 years, and certainly, you know, every decade, it's only grown. And in the last five in particular, COVID and all the, you know, top athletes coming out and talking about their challenges, as you know, right? And being honest about that, vulnerable about that. So that's kind of taken the curtain down quite a lot, I'd say, and kids are more open to it. Parents are seeking it out more. And therefore, there's more people kind of wanting to get in on it and do it. And, you know, it's kind of cool, like, oh, let's, you know, mental coaching is the phrase now, mental coaching. And you know, that can be, you know, good enough for basic skills, goal setting and visualization, the kind of basic suite of skills. But, you know, the experience is really important. It helps kids apply it. You're trained to, you know, listen and understand where kids and parents are coming from, being able to empathize and sort of time any tool or intervention. You have better timing and, you know, you're not just pushing things on people, kind of that often feels like, you know, pushing tools on, just do the breathing. But kids need more sort of the right kind of support. They need to feel understood. They need to be empowered to do it themselves, to press the button on the remote and not just given the thing and like, go do this. And so I think that more coaches, and I hope, will be kind of trained and really understand how to you know, communicate in an effective way with parents and kids, and have the families really begin to adjust the way they're operating, the environment they're creating, because that's really important, how parents are responding to these moments, the nerves, the kid not eating their breakfast and getting melting down, saying, I want to quit, I just want to quit, which they do, but it's really an emotion, you know, in a moment of emotion. But so it's just the nuance that I think I'm able to capture in the book and in my work, and why I think my first book did, you know, sold 80 to 1,000 copies, I think, because with no marketing, because I think people felt like it hit the nuance of the moments, because I have competed on some pretty big stages. So I'm able to communicate that. Yeah.
Right. And that experience, like I said earlier, I think that's like why it's so key for people to kind of take a page from your book, no pun intended. But it's because you've been at those moments and it's more relatable and more genuine. Well, before we end our conversation, I have to ask you very quickly, who is your most favorite tennis player to watch right now?
Yeah, you know, Alcaraz has definitely taken the lead here. He's really just such a, you know, so... such a great example of incredible, you know, skills, obviously, just phenomenal. But more importantly, he and his team have this eye on on keeping perspective, making sure that the tennis, the game, stays fun, that the professionalism, you know, that he doesn't burn out, and that they go play golf, and he goes to on vacation with some friends after the big tournament, and really, you know, you saw his swing after he won the U.S. Open, and he does this sort of putting. He kind of putt to Garcia up in the stands. You know, he smiles. He makes a mistake and he smiles, and he just has this really great perspective on what he's doing, and he loves it. He knows he has to keep it fun and keep the passion alive, or you just get eaten alive if you can't.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of a sink or swim moment for him in that match too, and obviously handled business and got the job done. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate your insights. Again, this was Jeff Greenwald. You can find his book, The Mental Edge, on Amazon under Jeff Greenwald. It is truly an amazing, one-of-a-kind guide for athletes and their parents, and it includes, like Jeff was talking about earlier, a parent guide. And he's, like I said, speaks from experience. Jeff, thank you so much for being on BTS today. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. It's wonderful to be with you as well. Thank you so much. Take care.
Awesome. You too. Again, Jeff Greenwald, The Mental Edge for Young Athletes. Find that book on Amazon and wherever you can find other books. Well, we got more BTS coming your way, bringing back the long old time friend, Nico Beef Sauce will be here. We're going to talk some NBA action. I know it's still week one of the NFL. Now we're talking about NBA. Oh my gosh. But you're going to want to hear this. Trust me. All right. Stay tuned right here. BTS coming up next.
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Premium vodka. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome back to BTS, the Behind the Sports Show, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I want to welcome in, that was a bar, the one, the only, Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, how are you?
Giovanna, how are we doing? I'm doing amazing.
Man, I feel like we haven't talked in a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a while, and it's mostly my fault. I've had a very, very busy summer so far, but sports action is back. So excited because NBA is not even back, but NFL has kicked off, Premier League has kicked off, Champions League is about to kick off next week, and we are in it.
Hey, the NBA isn't back, but we got some Euro basketball going on, and you're just the guy I want to talk about it with. Obviously, unfortunate news, Luka and Jokic both out already.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Eurobasket is fun. We saw the Avengers assemble for Team USA last year. And, you know, this year there's no Team USA because it's a Eurobasket. But all the top stars, the best players of the NBA, the guys that everybody's choosing to be the MVP of pretty much every other year has been a European MVP in the past few years. We see them battle it out for their country. And so far we've had some upsets. We have a very strong Final Four. Markkanen, the Utah Jazz power forward, is hot. He's the guy that knocked out Jokic. Serbia being disqualified so early in the tournament was absolutely one of the biggest upsets. France is out. And now in the top four, we have Finland, Turkey, Greece, and Germany.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on Eurobasket? Like, do you feel, because I know there's a little bit of controversy around players that are these superstar players for the NBA going overseas and playing overseas, and then obviously risking the potential of getting hurt, and that's going to ruin kind of what we got going on in the NBA. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I feel like if the player wants to go, nobody can stop him. I bet you that every single NBA team, like Denver or Milwaukee, for example, they're begging the player to maybe not do it. They're doing all their due diligence. Every single NBA team sends out their own doctor to keep track of like how they're recovering or how some injuries are going in the Eurobasket. Because, listen, when you get paid $45 million a year, you want to make sure that if that player gets injured, he's doing it wearing your jersey. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, it's been great so far. I feel like the players are enjoying it. I feel like it's a competition. And if you are a superstar and you're European, you would love to win a gold medal, which will be in this occasion for your country. So why not? I'm supporting it all the way through.
Hey, I'm here for it. I think Euro basketball gives us a little break between the mundane, dare I say, scripted version of the NBA that we see. But I'm all here for it. I mean, obviously, Giannis still in it with Greece. That is enough basketball action for me, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, I mean, Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Greece is facing Turkey. And for anybody that knows even a little bit of history, Greece facing Turkey is basically the Yankees facing the Red Sox. So, I mean, you have two countries battling it out. Great players. Sengun, that plays for the Houston Rockets, has had a great tournament so far. He's absolutely unstoppable. Pretty much a triple-double every game that he plays. He's so efficient with his movement. And I feel like if we're talking about greats that are going to be in the number five position in the NBA, Sengun is definitely a prospect for any team that wants to compete against somebody like Jokic, you know, which you see them pulling down rebounds, playing defense, scoring basketball, and just doing amazing. But facing Giannis is not going to be no easy thing, you know. Like, he's going to face a guy that's really hungry. I feel like Giannis has maybe one of these left in him. I feel like if he gets the gold medal with Greece, we might not see him with a Greek jersey ever again. Because
really,
yeah, I mean the workload is so heavy, and Giannis is getting even in this tournament, he has not played every game. There's been some, you know, they're controlling his minutes to make sure
he's
that
limited.
Limited minutes to obviously rank up and play in the top four, which is now. And then Finland is facing Germany in the other semifinal. Markkanen, Finland have been an absolute surprise for everybody. They're facing Dennis Schroeder, which I absolutely hate that guy. Daniel Theis, the guy that used to play for the Celtics at some point at number five, great player.
Wait, Nico, we got run that back. Why do you hate him?
Oh my God, I hate Dennis Schroeder. I can have a couple segments to myself talking about how much I hate this guy. Just like a goofy dude that always celebrates when he's winning, and he's really quiet when he's losing. He has that like silly smile on his face. He always has like a weird haircut with some weird colors on his head. I don't know. I feel like he's a cartoon character. Like that's what I feel about Dennis Schroeder. I feel like he's really fast with the ball. He fumbled that amazing contract for the Lakers that he was offered, which shows that he's not very smart either. A few years ago, he missed out on like $100 million or something crazy like that. But listen, at the end of the day, I would love to see him in the final. I would love the Greece to be the one that beats him, because he's always very mouthy when he plays against us, you know?
Hey, we know who Nico doesn't like. You heard it here. Okay, let's talk a little bit some NBA action since we're on the topic, shall we? NBA preseason, October 2nd. That's the first game. Knicks will host the 76ers. What is the expectation this year in the NBA? What teams are you looking at? What teams are you like, eh?
I feel like in the NBA so far, we have not seen that big move that I was personally expecting. And I know we talked about it on the show before, and we were both saying that we feel like somebody that's big is going to move. We haven't seen that yet. I'm very excited to see the Lakers this year. I feel like Doncic is looking great in his Eurobasket. He looks much slimmer and in shape. And I feel like, you know, we always think about the athletes being tired from these tournaments, but they can also get great confidence and great rhythm through these games. I feel like Doncic played great, although he's out, and I'm excited to see how he's going to do in his first real year in the Lakers. And LeBron James has to be in the conversation. I mean, how long is this guy going to go for? I'm excited to watch him every single season that he has left, because I'm not the biggest LeBron fan in the world, but I admire his greatness. I admire what an athlete he is and what he puts on the floor. On the other hand, I'm not very excited to look at Giannis, my guy, at the Bucks. I feel like this is going to be another disappointing season. I feel like Giannis is way too loyal. I don't know if he's going to move. I hope he does. Maybe it's
I mean, we've talked about
right?
it before. We talked about it before on the show. Like, our biggest moves were either Jokic getting out or Giannis getting out. And out of the two, I think Jokic could stay where he's at. I think he's going to. But for Giannis, being on the Bucks, it's time to move around. But it's one of those things. It's like, is it because he is getting old that we're not seeing teams interested in him? But I mean, he's Giannis for crying out loud.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing for Giannis is like the treatment that he gets from the Bucks. I feel like they showed him so much love, obviously, early on in his career. They built him to be the player that he is, gave him every single ounce of their energy in order to put him in a successful position that he finally ended up in, winning the chip with them. So his loyalty definitely comes into play. I will tell you, though, wholeheartedly, I would not be surprised if midseason the Bucks are like 10 and 20. Giannis is like, hey, listen, I want to go. And then we have a move being done in the middle of the year. It's just very surprising to me. Like, Giannis is not going to win another ring in Milwaukee. I mean, the odds of that happening is pretty much, to me, less than 5%. So I don't know even if Milwaukee would want to keep a player that really cannot take them to winning just because of his legacy, just to hang up the jersey at the end of the day on the ceiling and say, wow, what an achievement.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, you brought up a good point, though, about LeBron, and you kind of put it beautifully. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but I respect his game. And I'm just going to leave it at that, because that's all you got to say. I'm not.
Absolutely.
Like, you got to respect the man's game, too. Do we think this is truly his last season, though?
I mean, knowing
that. Is there a world in which he plays another season?
Knowing that LeBron is a massive attention, you know what? I would be so surprised if he didn't announce that, like, hey, this is my last season, so he can get the farewell tour. On the other hand, knowing that LeBron also, like, loves attention again, imagine what a big surprise it would be if, like, at the end of this season, he said, that was basically my last one and see you later. Because LeBron doesn't need money. LeBron really doesn't need anything. So he's just playing at this point for the sake of loving basketball. I mean, do you have a different opinion?
I think he's playing for the sake of his son at this point. I think it was a big deal to play with his son. And now that his son's in the league and his son, obviously, with the adversity that he's going through, I think he's going to wait to see his son make a formidable spot on this Lakers team if he stays with the Lakers. Until then, I think he's going to be determined to keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. But I don't know. It's actually interesting.
I really appreciate you saying that, though, because I feel like a lot of people, they feel like whether if they don't like something, they're obligated to hate it. You cannot like something and still appreciate how good it is and still not be a fan, right?
Yeah. Do I like Doncic on the Lakers? No, but I still appreciate it.
Exactly.
I still think it was maybe a good move. Now, inside, we also had a similar Doncic situation in Dallas with the Cowboys. Micah Parsons got traded to the Green Bay Packers. He had his opening game this past Sunday with the Packers. He had one really good sack, and I feel like people are blowing this out of proportion. But the reason I bring it up is because in Dallas, it was much the loss of Dallas fans, Dallas sports fans. The loss was very similar to losing Luka earlier this season for the Mavs. So I don't know. We'll see what pans out. Here's another one. I don't hate Jerry. I don't hate Jerry Jones. But I have a new found appreciation for that man and how he runs his team. I do.
I mean, I'm not even that big into NFL in terms of, like, my knowledge, but watching the NFL for the past 10 years, it was great. I was so graciously welcomed into the NFL world being in New England, and I lived some of the golden years of Tom Brady, Gronkowski, like that beautiful run that they had here in New England. Dallas does not have that little angel watching after them in no way, shape, or form. Like, Dallas seems like Jerry Jones, you know what I mean? He's going to do the utmost. He's going to pour money into the team, the stadium. He's going to make it the best that he can and still fall short. And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like a curse, to be honest, but I'm praying for the Dallas fans because I love Dallas, Texas.
Oh, thank you. We could use your prayers. I really appreciate that. I have to mention this next preseason game, though. We mentioned October 2nd, Knicks and the 76ers. October 3rd is the Lakers versus the Suns. Obviously, the Suns have some things to figure out this offseason as well. We will see how they do. But, Nico, I'm so excited for the NBA to come back. I can't wait. And I will be counting down the days till we have NFL and NBA on.
Yeah, I mean, I love the NBA. The regular season gets a little bit boring at times, but I love watching the players. I'm a huge Doncic, Jokic, Giannis. You can tell I'm from Europe, so I love those guys.
Oh yeah, you can tell. Yeah. Well, thank you, Nico, for joining us. We will talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, wrapping up BTS, coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy.
The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Like I said earlier, week one in the rear view, week two coming up on our plate. NFL action. This singular game stands out to me, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. The Lions will host the Chicago Bears on Sunday, September 14th, kickoff 12 p.m. The Lions and the Bears both coming off of losses from week one, but now Dan Campbell and Lions will face their previous defensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, as he has stepped into this new head coaching role for the Bears. I think the Bears looked better than they have looked. I think Caleb Williams has looked better than they have looked. I can't say the same about the Lions. The Lions in week one were a little disappointing. I mean, they had a tough matchup, but I don't think anyone was expecting the Lions to play as they did. But how about rookie Isaac or Isaiah Tesla? He had the one-handed touchdown in the end zone. I think that was the only touchdown for the Lions in that game in week one. Talk about a dog. I mean, that kid's story is amazing. So that matchup, I am looking forward to. Obviously, we have Chiefs hosting the Eagles, a Super Bowl rematch. I think those two games are going to wrap up our interesting games of the week. And then Thursday night for week two, we have a Commanders and Packers matchup, which I think it will be a little bit of fireworks in that game as well. Well, that's going to do it for us today on BTS. What a ride, guys. Huge thanks again to our guests for pulling back the curtain and sharing those stories you definitely will not find in a box score. Be sure to tune in next week for yet another exciting episode with even more incredible guests and insights from the world of sports. Don't forget, guys, go on Instagram, type in @behindthesportshow, follow us on Instagram. Click that follow button. You can also find us wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube, all the social media platforms. Go on right now and follow. We'll be right back here next Wednesday, same time, same place, for another exciting episode. I'm Giovanna Scroggins. This has been Behind the Sport on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Keep celebrating, keep supporting, and keep being curious about what happens behind the sport.